Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John 15. In verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do, that is to say, accomplish, nothing. In verse 12, we have one of the things that we are required to do that we cannot do without him. He said there, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, this is something that we Christians embrace, we accept. But despite the fact that we acknowledge it as truth and we embrace it, sometimes we find it difficult to live in it. Sometimes we find a challenge in this beyond our ability. We may say to ourselves, how am I to love this person? I know I should. I know God wants me to. But how am I to do it? I just can't. And sometimes we don't love out of simple emotions, or sometimes it's different reasons. Sometimes it's wounds. All kinds of reasons. But we say we can't do it, or we don't even address it, and we simply at times don't do it. Now, everybody has moments that are isolated where they fail in this, and that is simply sin. They confess the failure and they go on. However, there are those people who persistently have a problem with this. And really, not just with this. In Romans 1:17, the Word of God says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, the just live by faith. And there are Christians who have areas of their life where it's impossible, it seems, for them to apply faith. Not because they wouldn't believe the Word of God per se, they do believe that it is indeed the Word of God. But something in them prevents them from applying faith. Something in them prevents them from simply responding in faith. Perhaps resting in faith seems very difficult to them, really impossible. Because they just have this block inside of them, this inability to enter into those things. In Romans 7:18, they have this issue, these people who suffer from this, that Paul had, to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Sometimes people can't respond in faith in this manner like Paul because they have these mental blocks. They know they should love, but they can't love. They know that they should rest in faith, but they don't rest. They're stressed out. A situation comes their way and they know they should trust God, but they don't trust God. Or at least they are anxious in the process because they're uncertain as to the outcome. They say to themselves, well, maybe this will go badly. And these are all mental blocks in many cases. Mental blocks can have various reasons, various causes. Some psychologists would tell you they're caused by traumatic events, and I'm sure that that is the case. But it can also be caused by a whole host of other things. Things where a person is victimized, or things where simply somebody's stubborn. Somebody takes on a notion and they can't get beyond it. Mental blocks are a belief you can't do something for the fear of something. For example, you can't do something for the fear of becoming a failure. Or even for that matter of becoming a success. Not knowing how to do it. And sometimes mental blocks can be things like fear of losing control or losing comfort losing the place that you're familiar with, where you think you can operate here safely, at least, if not optimally. There's a lot of different types of mental blocks. There's a lot of causes for mental blocks. But in each case, it's a false belief where you are unable, you cannot, you don't have capacity, you just can't do something. And you accept that you cannot do something. A lot of people with mental blocks recognize that they are indeed mental blocks in them, but they don't recognize how to get past mental blocks. They don't realize how to get around this overwhelming inability in their eyes. And therefore, they live with their mental blocks. In John 8:34, mental blocks are areas where I'm not operating in faith. That's pretty much by definition. Because if I'm operating in fear of any sort, that is the opposite of operating in faith. Well, here Jesus said, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Now, mental blocks take possession of a person, and after they take possession of a person, that person then takes possession of their mental block. If there's a person who has a mental block, let's say of anything, public speaking, anything, that mental block in that area of their life will take possession of them. And they will be very afraid, paralyzed in some ways, if they are to go into a public speaking situation. However, after that, after the mental block has taken possession of them, in other words, every single time this mental block is there controlling them in this particular area of their life, then they take possession of the mental block. Eventually, they will not venture into a faith challenge, something that would touch on that mental block, and the mental block will be their justification, and now they've taken possession of their mental block, and the circle is complete. They're owned by the mental block, you could say. They are a slave to sin, and then they become a servant to it. They take claim of the mental block so that they will not be challenged or challengeable in that area of sin. It becomes their justification. It becomes their motive in some cases. That's not really where it ends. Because mental blocks are believing something that is not actually true, in Romans 1:25, they exchange the truth of God for a lie. There is nothing about a human being that would not be able to enter into, as we used our example, public speaking. This is simply a way of thinking. Now, they're afraid of it, they have a mental block against it, they think they're unable, and then they justify never venturing into it with the mental block. Then they take possession of it. But the fact of the matter is that every single born-again believer has a measure of every one of the spiritual gifts because they are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Now, not every one of those gifts is going to be expressed in us, or really, we're not going to be endowed with it in equal measure. But because we have the Holy Spirit in us, every single born-again believer has a measure of all of them, because they are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Things like public speaking frequently fall under the categories of preaching or evangelism. Well, no, not every believer is going to be called or have a gift to be a preacher or an evangelist, but every born-again believer has the capacity from the Holy Spirit to share the gospel. And so, in that kind of a setting, you might get 20, 30, 40 people at a time in some instances, maybe more, where you have the opportunity to share the gospel like the disciples did at Pentecost, except they had many more people, but all of a sudden, they have this opportunity to share the gospel with so many people. They didn't worry about whether they had gifts or not. They had the Holy Spirit in them, and the Holy Spirit empowered them. Likewise, with any other born-again believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit empowers you when the need arises. So I may not be, as a ordinary person, a brilliant public speaker, but if the need arises, I have the Holy Spirit who can give me the capacity, the ability to speak in public. So it's not true that we can't. As a born-again believer, I can't is not really a correct statement. I'm not able, not correct. I don't have the ability, not correct. I don't have whatever it is that you think you need, not correct. You have the Holy Spirit, you have absolutely everything that you need if He brings you into that circumstance. But fear paralyzes us. And that fear is the mental block. Sometimes people have a mental block against loving another person. Perhaps that person's hurt them or offended them in some way. Or perhaps they've had a traumatic experience in their own past and they reflect on that experience in their interactions with this person or whatever. Again, any number of many different reasons. But in any case, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you is love, of course you have the capacity, of course you have the ability. You just have a mental block. And that mental block is preventing you from responding in faith. Sometimes it's preventing you from applying grace. Sometimes it prevents you from accepting or giving mercy. Sometimes just plain simple kindness is prevented by mental blocks. But you have the ability for these things, and you have the capacity for these things, and you have the Holy Spirit who quickens you in all these things. But you still can't do it. In this notion that people take into their minds, I can't because, since the Holy Spirit is present, the notion itself is a lie. So the mental block itself is a lie. It's not a true statement. It's not correct. I can't because. That's not correct. That is a lie. Nobody is intending to lie. Nobody wants to deceive. It's not a lie in the sense of deception. But it is a lie relative to the Word of God, which is truth. And so, this person takes the truth of God for a lie. And then, once they take possession of the mental block, they do it to serve the creature themselves rather than the Creator. In a mental block, a person will always serve themselves rather than the Creator or someone else for that matter. They will always serve themselves. That's what that mental block is about. Now, mental blocks are not really innocuous. there's a tendency among some people to say, well, I have this mental block, shrug your shoulders, and what am I going to do? It's just the way I am. It's really not a big deal. It's just a mental block. That's not actually correct. The Word of God says in Isaiah 28:15, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we are in agreement. And then it continues later in the verse, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have hidden ourselves. So a mental block preventing me from faith response, faith obedience, faith rest to the things of God, to the definitions of God. And I simply say to myself, well, I have a mental block. It's okay. It's just this mental block. It's not a great thing to have, but oh, what am I going to do about it? Well, that's actually making the lie your refuge. Because in reality, the mental block is something of my own making. Yes, I may have had help from another person, perhaps, or from the enemy, ultimately, in all these cases, but I had to agree, and it's really of my own making. Satan says, oh, you can't do that, and I have to say, oh, you know what? You're right. I can't do that, can I? And there you have the birth of a mental block. But saying you can't do that is not truth, and it's not from God, and it's not according to the Word of God. In John 8:44, the devil does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks from his own resources. He does not speak from the Holy Spirit's resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so when the devil says to somebody, oh, you have a mental block. You can't do that. That's just too much. Remember what they did to you? And he develops these patterns of thinking in our minds. He's not giving us truth. He's giving us a lie. And when we believe that lie is when that mental block develops. It takes possession of us. It paralyzes us. And then we take possession of it. And we utilize it as a justification for not responding in faith. In Genesis 3:4, the serpent said to the woman, after, in verse 1, he challenged her about how much sense it made that God would not allow them to eat from the prettiest tree in the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, when they could eat from all the other trees. And then she said to him, yes, but God said, we shall not eat of it. And she added, we shall not touch it, lest we die. And then he says to her, you will not surely die. In the original language, it's actually, you will not surely die today. See the subtlety of the enemy. God says, you will not die. You're not going to die today, are you? And then he continued, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil. The word there being Elohim. Not the Lord God, the Creator God, but angels. So you will be like the angels, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate. He developed a mental block in her. He did it by challenging the Word of God, and then getting her to operate by sight. And this formed a type of mental block. Now, she was afraid of the tree at first because of the definition of God. After she ate from the tree, when she saw, along with Adam, that they were naked, she developed this mental block where she tried to hide herself first from her husband and he from her, and then they tried to hide both of them from God because of this mental block. Now, mental blocks are not just mental blocks. When the devil got Eve to believe him, and this is what mental blocks are all about, when the devil got Eve to believe him, he established a stronghold in her life, and she acted in it. As long as I'm possessed by the mental block, I may not have capacity, but when the mental block becomes my justification, it becomes a stronghold. And once it's a stronghold, people find it very difficult to let it go. Very difficult to go against it. Because now, not only is it their justification, things like self-image and identity get involved. And the farther they go in it, the stronger it becomes. So he developed this stronghold when she acted on it in her life. Now, a stronghold is a lie that Satan has established in our thinking that we count as true, but it's actually a false belief. Now, when this happens, we will either not believe the truth or not accept the truth. In other words, we may say it's true, but we won't respond because we have this mental block that has now become a stronghold. Strongholds are how the enemy controls people. This is where he reigns in their life. A born-again believer can have demonic strongholds where the enemy reigns in those areas of their life. But because they've accepted the lie as though it were true, they're blind to those areas. They can't recognize them as being false. They accept them as being true. A person, when they get to this point, will then start to wonder, in some cases, why can't I? What is it that's blocking me? For example, a person is persistently unkind, and they know that God says to be kind, and if they are at all honest with themselves, they will realize they are being unkind as a lifestyle in some cases, and they say to themselves, why am I doing that? I knew a person several years ago who was like that, was very hostile to certain individuals. They were very kind to this person, but this person was very hostile to these individuals. And this person asked themselves, why am I doing that after about a year of it? They realized that they had this mental block that had become a stronghold. Now, when I recognize this, in 2 Corinthians 3:15, if I try to apply the law to it, it won't work. In that passage, it says that when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart, on their frame of reference. You cannot will yourself out of strongholds through obedience to the law. Yet that's sometimes what people try because they see that this is a thing that doesn't agree with the truth in their life. And so they look up verses, treat them as though they were law, and try to will themselves to perform those passages. But it doesn't work for them. And even if they manage to actually take on whatever activity they have a stronghold against or in, it's not something that they can sustain, or at least it's not something that they can do without a great deal of turmoil in their own heart. The reason for that is because in Hebrews 7:19, the law made nothing perfect. The law can't deliver me from strongholds. The law can't bring me into grace. The law can't produce faith in me. The law makes nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope. So if I have a stronghold, then what I need is not the law. I need a better hope. I need something that will take on greater significance and value in my life than the mental block that produced the strongholds does. Once something comes into my life that outweighs, let's say, the fear that the mental block can be caused by, then the mental block starts to be dealt with. But it cannot be the law. It won't work. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Warfare there is not really warfare the way we think of warfare. In the original, it's a campaign in what we pursue with God against Satan's opposition. The implements, not really weapons, but implements, strategies, conduct of our campaign in the things that we pursue with God, the call of God, the will of God, the plan of God, a vision from God. In our campaign that we pursue with God, Satan opposes this, and he opposes the implements that we utilize. And this becomes the battle. So it's not really that we war against the devil, we don't. Yet we don't war against flesh and blood either. It's not actually a war of that sort. It's opposition from the enemy to us living in faith, response to God. But the way we go about that is not carnal. It's mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So if there is something in my life that God calls me to, or a faith response that I have that I'm undertaking, yes, Satan will respond to it. He will oppose it. And if I try to deal with that opposition in any sort of a natural fashion, then the outcome will be that he's able to produce a stronghold, a mental block toward the very thing that I was trusting God in. And then I won't be able to continue. And he will have a stronghold in that person's life. In Philippians 4:13, the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The notion that Satan brings, this lie, that I believe that I cannot for whatever reason, is patently false. Because truth is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word all means each and every. There is nothing that the believer does not have the capacity for, because there is nothing that the Holy Spirit in the believer does not have the capacity for. Every born-again believer can do all things through Christ, not through themselves. The implements of the campaign that we have in faith responses toward God as we pursue that which God has set before us, they're not done in a natural manner. They're done through Christ. They're done through faith, through the Word of God, faith responses, entering into the grace of God, receiving the love of God, being built up in the mercy of God, and we continue. And if we fail, we practice rebound, and we continue, and we never stop continuing. This is the way that life is supposed to work with God. We can indeed do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Yes, but I don't have the ability to do this. I've never had it. You don't understand what happens or what I'm thinking or what it's like for me. It's not you that's doing it. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you that's doing it. In myself, I can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Apart from Him, I don't have a snowball's chance, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The reason why the lie that Satan projects, that becomes the mental block, that becomes the stronghold, works, is because he tells us, you can't do it. A half-truth. But the reality of it is, God never asked you to do it. God says, I will do it. And I'm going to take you along for the ride. I will do it. If I have a call, and a lot of people receive a call that they have a mental block to, but in my call, I'm not conducting the call. I lend him my faculties, I lend him my body, I lend him my voice box, I lend him my arms and my legs and what have you, I lend those to him. But honestly, I'm not the one who's doing it. A preacher, for example, who preaches well from the Word of God, he's not the one who's doing the preaching. He simply makes his voice box available when the Holy Spirit has something to say to the churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing the talking. The preacher has simply made the voice box available. He's listening and repeating, and that's all there is to it. He's listening and he's repeating. He's listening and he's repeating. Does that mean that he doesn't have to prepare? Of course he has to prepare. Without preparation, it won't be any good. But the preparation is really for his sake, not for the Holy Spirit's sake. It's for him to be prepared before God, to have his heart right, his mind, his thinking correct before God, his understanding, so that the Holy Spirit can utilize him effectively. He does all things through Christ. He preaches through Christ. The evangelist evangelizes through Christ. The teacher teaches through Christ. The administrator administrates through Christ. The person who has the gift of helps, helps through Christ. The person who has a gift in mercy is merciful through Christ. It's not them. It's not the individual. If I think it's me, that's where Satan can get in and say, no, you really can't. And if I recognize my own frailty, I'll say, you know, you're right, I really can't. But that's a red herring. God never said it was me. I can do all things through Christ. Never said, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. I don't have a mental block against God doing something. I only have a mental block against me doing something. Yet, if I accept this mental block as a reality in my life, I give a stronghold to the devil. So I recognize what things actually are. That I'm along for the ride, and Christ is the one who's doing it. In Proverbs 3:5, I trust in the Lord with all my heart and I don't lean on my own understanding. Why is the mental block successful? Because the person is leaning on their own understanding. Just like what the devil did to Eve in the garden, he got her to lean on her own understanding to produce eventually the stronghold that he had in their lives. Satan tries to get us to lean on our own understanding relative to some event, some experience. And then he says, you cannot. You have been robbed. You have been wounded. Whatever it is that he's saying to you that is getting you to agree with him. And then to be too afraid to respond to God. That's all natural understanding. You don't rely on that. You don't rely on I cannot. You rely on trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Now, this does require a conscious decision in order for me to overcome Satan's strongholds, mental blocks. I have to get rid of the attachment to whatever it is that's causing the mental block. The mental block takes possession of me, and then I take possession of the mental block. I have to stop taking possession. And when I stop taking possession of the mental block, the mental block will be unable to maintain possession of me. If I don't take possession of the mental block, then I am free to take possession of the promises of God. And I live in all the promises of God, claiming them as my possession because they were given to me by my Father. That's my true possession. If I take possession of the promises of God, eventually the promises of God will take possession of me. And they'll become governmental in my life. In this way, a stronghold is torn down and a mental block is removed. In Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In order to be renewed in the spirit of my mind, in Hebrews 4:2, I have to mix faith with what I hear. The issues that cause the mental block will resolve when the frame of reference is shifted. Now understand this next statement. God will not fix your mental blocks. God will give you a new mind. It's in the new mind that the mental blocks are removed. That's why if I take promises of God and make them my possession, then I become the possession of the promises. And the mental blocks and the strongholds are removed. In Isaiah 28:16, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. In verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters, that is to say, the word of God, shall overflow the hiding place. When the finished work, the Word of God, all that God is, become my foundation through the promises of God, then God brings in a new thought, a new standard, a faith standard that defines things for me. And the lie that I found refuge in is no longer a source of refuge. And the Word of God makes that hiding place of the lie absolutely unnecessary. You overcome with the Word of God. Jesus said, if the truth makes you free, then you are free indeed. In Hebrews 4:16, by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This is our new refuge. The hope that is set before us. Christ and our oneness with Him. Our place in the heavenlies at the right hand of God. This is my refuge. The Holy Spirit inside of me is my defender and my provider. I don't look for things, whether I can do them or not. I look for God to see what He's doing. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. The solution for my mental blocks is a one Christ fits all solution. I don't try to resolve mental blocks by psychological ploys or messing with situations or manipulating people or trying to convince myself of something that I don't believe. I go to Christ in humility and faith, and through the Word of God, and let Him recreate who I am. In Galatians 2:20, I recognize that I've already been crucified with Christ. And through the Word of God, I receive the life of Christ that I now live. In 2 Corinthians 5:16, I don't know anything by the means of my old sin nature. Instead, every single mental block, every single individual with mental blocks, every detail, every source, every cause has the same solution. A one Christ fits all solution. I'm one with my Savior in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. He made me to be one with His love in Romans 5:8. We are the new creation. And because we are the new creation, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. In faith, there are no mental blocks and there are no satanic strongholds. In faith, there is only victory. In faith, He makes us more than conquerors. In faith, we have the mind of Christ. And in faith, we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. Amen.
If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Savior. I accept Your gift of mercy and what You have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with You now as You come into my heart and live.